is the Tom Likas Show.
I like the cut of your jib.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
What's a jib?
Don't be stupid.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at GloVFTom.com. You can hear us on our brand new free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in to the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Every Tuesday we have a bonus hour where we are joined by attorney Adam Sachs here in the guise of criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, always good to have you in here.
It's always good to be here, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Here you are, criminal defense attorney. By the way, did you see the phones for the Likas 101 thing? It's nuts.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Just think, unlike Mr. Checkpoint, I actually show up.
Well, yes, you show. In fact, you show up hours early. You are there, ready to go.
Well, I have to hang out with Gary to, you know, get in the right frame of mind. You know, to give up the legal personality.
Like, have a couple of fights with Gary or something before we get started.
Build up to the whole legal thing, you know.
Okay.
Gary gives me one of these. I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you did that. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
So,
understood.
I'll tell you, Tom, I was just telling Gary that I had a DUI case that I've been working on, and I think that I've reached a real threshold where I'm going to go into court this week and get it dismissed for my client, so that's great, you know? And I was talking about, you know, some of the cases that, you know, go better than others in different circumstances, but, you know, there's a whole category of very problematic cases. And some cases that people that I talk to, and I don't think it's anything against me, I don't think they're going to hire any lawyer, and they end up really getting harmed and having very bad outcomes. And it's because, and this is especially true in criminal cases, it's because of frame of mind, denial, people expecting that, you know, things are going to go away. I think in some other cultures, the court systems are different. Like, for example, in England, they have these sort of informal courts, and you meet with this, like, constabulary, and you sit down, and it's just sort of like a volunteer from the neighborhood who's the judge. Now, he might be a lawyer, but he wears just sort of like a suit, and, you know, you vandalized or you spray painted or whatever, and the judge sort of has a talk with you. And he says, you know, that wasn't a good thing to do, and you say you're sorry or whatever. And I think that people have some ideas that, you know, it's all going to blow over, or they're going to, like, explain it to the judge. And I've talked about this before where people have this impression that the judge is this, you know, kind of an older man, you know, with gray hair, you know, and a pipe, you know, and he's sort of sitting in the easy chair, and you come in, and he's, you know, he's very wise. He's like Yoda, you know. And you tell him, well, I'm sorry. And he goes, oh, that's okay. And don't do it again. And, you know, the system that we have is not like that at all. It really doesn't even lend itself to that. And I have a really interesting case. This is actually someone who has not hired me yet. I don't know exactly what his plan is. I want to hear it in his own words. But he's waiting on hold in a second. He's really interesting because when he called me, and we were talking about this and what happened. Tom, I don't think he even understood that he had been arrested. You know, the shock and the trauma of going through the experience as it happens to people, people don't even realize. I talk to people, for example, that have missed court dates. And they didn't even know. They said they got a thing in the mail. You know, it looks relatively innocent. You know, you don't have the police breaking down your door for basic misdemeanors. Believe it or not, they just send you a letter. And you get a letter, and it looks semi-official, but it's a computer-printed thing, so it's not like, you know, directed to you. You don't have to sign for it. It just sort of comes in the mail, and it's like, you know, you need to come to court and so-and-so address on so-and-so day. And a lot of people think, yeah, the hell with it, they throw it away. and they don't even realize it ends up being something that, you know, ends up being a big deal because they don't show up to court, and then there's like a warrant for their arrest issued, you know, as a bench warrant, and a lot of other things like this. But I think that the experience of being arrested and these things happening and how to cope with it and what to do is very difficult for a lot of people. And I also think that part of the things that you talk about, Tom, you know, where guys today raised by single mothers, and you don't have that, what's like the Gary Cooper type, you know, like the strong, what are you talking about, Tom?
The strong, silent type.
Yes. This brooding, silent, you know. Guys think that, you know, they're going to like, you know, kind of laugh it off or whatever. And I think we're using, what are we calling him, Pat?
Yes, we're calling him Pat. I had to look at the screen. Okay. Yes.
Okay, Pat actually is a P1, and he came to the Lycus Dodgers game that we had the other day, Dodger Stadium, with a special
right.
Hollywood box. And apparently afterwards he went to some kind of a bar and got into a fight or something like that. So let's get him on because I want him to explain this. And his reaction and how the kind of the aftermath is really, really interesting and worth talking about.
All right. Pat is on with us.
Pat, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey.
Hi, how are you guys?
Thanks for coming on, Pat.
Great.
I really appreciate it. So can you tell, we were at the Dodger game, which we all had a great time. I remember seeing you there. And then you had something afterwards, right? What, didn't you go to a club or a bar or something?
Right. It was basically just a bar, and somebody just came at me and totally attacked me out of nowhere.
So you're just minding your own business, you know, people getting drunk, whatever, and this guy, like, started fighting you physically?
Right. He basically tackled me and all the bouncers and everybody that had seen it, you know, all explained to the cops that that's what had happened. And so, like,
and you didn't know him at all, right?
Right. And it's not that I was in so much denial that I just couldn't quite understand that they kind of had to arrest two different people to make a battery charge out
right.
of the situation.
So this is what we were talking about. So I spoke to you in the aftermath of this, like the next day or something. But in terms of the way it developed, he was arrested. I think you made him wait. You did like a citizen's arrest or whatever. And the police came,
well,
right?
Thank you. Yeah, it's I've got the copy here. It's called the Long Beach Police Department Private Persons Arrest Report.
Right, okay. But when you sent me your documents, what I guess you didn't realize, and it says it right on them, but it's kind of, I guess your perspective was that you had been the victim because he attacked you. But you know that police, you know, they don't think that way. The police come on a scene, and, you know, as far as they're concerned, everyone is a potential suspect. So the truth
Right.
So in the end, he was arrested, but you were also charged with a crime.
I agree, yeah.
Now, you didn't realize that at first, right?
No. And thank you. You know, that's kind of why I was reaching out to, you know, who I thought were my friends and saying, look, what was my complete, like you said, you know, after a moment like that, obviously I had a couple of drinks that day, but put that aside, it, for somebody that has never gone through something like that in their life, it is traumatic. And it is. It's detrimental to the point where I got home and I'm looking at a piece of paper that says a private person's arrest report. And then I'm looking at another piece of paper that says I'm basically the person being arrested.
Right.
So that was why I was reaching out to you as my friend saying, I just don't understand how this can happen. How can I be
right.
the culprit and the suspect at the same time?
Right, know? Exactly. And you know, and this is no offense or anything. You and I are fine personally, and of course. But when we first talked about this and I was telling you that you had also been charged, you were arguing with me. You were telling me that I'm wrong. No, isn't that true?
I don't know that I would have said wrong, but I'm sure I was in partial denial, Adam. I don't doubt it. Yeah, it's traumatic. I mean, I'm somebody that has a very respectable background. I've never been arrested. I've I've hardly returned a videotape without being rewinded.
Oh, nice.
So to have somebody even accuse me of those kind of things is, yeah, it is slightly traumatic.
Right, I understand. I know. I think it is, as I said, a fundamental misunderstanding of how the police think. The police, you know, in the context of a bar fight, you know, they're going to arrest everybody, and then they'll let the court sort it out, or they'll let the prosecutor sort it
better.
Out.
Yeah, the more the better for them.
The other problem, I think, that's very difficult when you're, especially when you're the victim like you were, obviously this guy attacked you for no reason and all, is that, you know, when the police come, you talk to them. Because you're trying to have them deal with what happened to you. So you're making statements to them, which I always say not to talk to the police. Now, people think by, you know, when they're the victim, they're talking to the police. Obviously, they're saying, you know, this is what happened, and he attacked me, and he pushed me, and he hit me with a beer bottle or whatever. But the truth is, it's the same exact issue, as always, that everything you say can and will be used against you. And the police are also going to talk about your demeanor. And you don't know what their prejudices are. Now, as I recall, you're a white guy, so, you know, this may not apply to you. But I've seen cases of cops that were, you know, kind of having an attitude about race, and they were blaming a fight, particularly on my client, who was a black guy. And I think that may have played into some of their prejudice, that when they were coming into a bar scene and they saw a white guy and a black guy fighting, they assumed incorrectly that the black guy had started it, or that the black guy was the aggressor, you know? And when you're yakking with the cops, basically, on the scene, you know, as they're arresting the other guy, what you don't realize is they're writing everything down, and these are the same cops that are someday going to come to court and testify against you.
Well, and thank you, Adam. Can I cut you off there and ask you, though?
Of course.
If those cops remember the situation the way I do, in the fact that the other guy was yelling racist remarks that, oh, I know how all you, in fact, you have a kind of opposite, but, oh, I know how all you white guys keep it together, you know, that's all going to come back on also the other guy also, right? You
know,
meanwhile, I was telling the cops, I'm really sorry that you have to go through this paperwork, but this guy just attacked me out of nowhere, and I'm, you know, I'm speaking respectably, and he's screaming.
I know, but remember, the cops are not. I'm with you, but the cops are not witness to what happened, you know.
Well, yes, they are.
They're coming after it's over.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, you're right.
He's. Well, I don't know what he was saying, but you also have to remember your judgment was impaired because you were a bit drunk. And the whole situation was, you know, kind of emotional, right? Everyone was all freaked out and yelling or whatever. So this guy was making some stupid statements, but who knows what the police took from that.
Right. But like you were saying, like, and that was, again, what I was just trying to get out of you as a friend. And don't get me wrong, Adam, you're a great lawyer. I don't doubt that you're going to be the one that helps me before this is all said and done.
All right, thanks for that.
And what I was kind of just reaching out for was some free advice. Like, look, you know, this guy's doing this and this and this, and I was kind of asking for some free advice that I'm not sure I didn't quite get, but, you know, I know it now.
I think I spoke to you at length, and I've accommodated you in terms of giving you advice. I haven't charged anything, so that's free advice so far as I can tell. So I think that's been pretty fair between us. But, you know, you have to recognize that this is something that's, you know, coming down the pike now. You have a court date in a couple of weeks, right? And one of the things that you and I talked about, and I really want to talk about this. This is important. I understand that you have a professional license from the state. And this is something that
Very important to me.
Right.
And so this is all my future. If in the next 6 months that would get cut off or restricted for me for some reason, I would then need to leave the state, let alone the country.
Well, I got some bad news for you. You know, if you did lose your license in this state, you might move to Florida or something, but they're going to know about it too. You know, that's not going to be something that stays in California.
Between you and I, it depends on the state.
That's really, I know that sounds, you know, very clever and a good idea, but that's not true. Even
it
if you went to live
state,
in...
Right, Alex? Adam?
What?
It depends on the state.
Okay.
Come on.
Let me just tell you, in general, that, you know, I don't want this to be part of your denial, okay? Having a conviction of a misdemeanor, misdemeanors are not that serious compared to a felony, obviously, but having a conviction of a misdemeanor, particularly a violent one, you know, like assault and battery and whatnot, which is like a bar fight kind of misdemeanor, the kind you face, that is not going to be good for you. That is not going to be good on your record. That could hurt your professional licenses. If you think about a company hiring you, any company, you know, if you have a conviction of assault and battery, they don't want you in their office. You know, what if you punch out one of the employees, you know, one of your coworkers? Now, you're going to say that's not what happened and this guy started it, but they're not going to remember any of that. And you could move to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Believe me, they've got computers there, too. And they're going to do cross-references, and they're going to find your convictions in other states and other places. This stuff is in, you know, these databases now. You can't escape technology and computers nowadays. And so, you know, I understand that you want to, you know, make this, you know, sound positive. And you and I talked about this a little bit. This was sort of supposed to be me giving you the hard sell, which was you got to hire me because if you get convicted, you're going to lose your career, you know. But the truth is...
And more of it was a timing thing for me. You're like, you know, we got only until da-da-da-da. And I'm like, you know what? I need to have all of my facts in order before I make any intelligent decisions. Right.
But don't forget that the witnesses and the evidence are things that are wearing away. Now, when you have this attack or whatever happened on, you know, day one, and you call me and it's already 3 or 4 days later, I need to send investigators to that bar and to have people gathered as what happened, if there's photographs, if there's a video that exists because maybe they have cameras there inside, if there are witnesses we can gather, the bartender saw it, the bartender remembers a guy named Joe that saw it, and what the hell is Joe's name and what's his phone number. And as weeks go by, a lot of that stuff fades away and becomes more difficult to gather. I have a lot of people that call me months after something happened, and they've already gone to court once or twice. They've filled things out. They didn't request discovery properly, so they're not getting copies of the police documents. I mean, there's a lot of things that you want to do, and you want to do it as quickly as possible. So on some level, it sounds like I'm being pushy, but I'm not. I'm actually being very sensible, and I'm saying to you, you know, there's not a lot of time. We got to get on this. And second of all, you know, you've got to take it seriously because this could be something that really hurts your life and you don't want it to. And, you know, I understand from your point of view, hiring a lawyer, whoever, me or someone else, you know, you got to shell out money. That's a tough decision to make. But you have to recognize what a priority this is. You know, I have a lot of people that contact me, particularly like for a relative, where the son is now in jail and he's serving 9 years and he's already obviously lost the case and now they want to do something or they want to appeal or whatever. And, you know, that's like after the horse has left the barn. You know, it's much more difficult to win the case on appeal. And in family law, which, you know, I am involved in, I have people that have already lost custody. They've already had the case completely go against them. And that's when they're ready to start spending some money and hiring a lawyer. And it's like, wait, what, now? Now it's 100 times more difficult to do. And your case, I think, is a good case. I think it's a winnable case. I think that this guy, from your description, you know, he attacked you. So you were, you know, defending yourself. He acted crazy in a way that the police saw where he was saying racial things or whatever. You know, this is a case that I think I could go in and I could win for you. I could get it dismissed or win a trial or whatever. And, you know, part of what I'm doing is I'm not just going in and fighting. I need you to work with me. And, you know, you're a nice guy and everything. I wanted to emphasize that. But you got to admit, Pat, you've been resistant. You know, you're not necessarily helping me all the way.
Well, I appreciate that, Adam. And,
I mean, is that fair?
I'm somewhat resistant to write a blank check.
Right.
And that's where, you know, between you and I, Adam, I mean, you know, if you were to tell me, hey, $500 or $750 or even $1,000, will, you know, will get me to do some research between now and your arraignment hearing, have me by your side at your arraignment hearing, okay. But other than that, I'm seeing is an empty line to write my name on, and that seems detrimental. Like, I've got enough friends that, A, I went to college with, and B, they've eventually graduated law school, that if I have to, they'll be by my side at the courthouse that day. And
but are they,
and I'm not
are
sure.
they are they criminal defense lawyers? Are they real estate lawyers?
Yeah. No, they're criminal defense attorneys.
All right, well, if you know someone who knows what they're doing, then, you know, that's a good idea. I don't hold that against you. But when you talk about going with you to, like, one hearing for $500 or whatever, that's not how it works. Once I join your case, I have to stay on your case. And you think that this is going to be one hearing, and it's not. This is something...
No. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand, Adam, and I think your audience would really appreciate if you could explain to that how that works. Like, you know, I know you work with all your clients and all of us.
Yeah, of course.
We appreciate that. But, like, what does that mean? Like, so I give you a $100 check, and then, like, you know, 3 weeks later, if you had to spend 4 hours, you know, just give us...
No, generally, then you're misunderstanding, because... That's more in the way family law works, you know, per hour. Criminal law, generally speaking, is done. No, it's okay. Criminal law is generally done on a flat rate. But even what you've said, I talked to a lot of people that had friends or they knew someone who graduated law school or whatever. You got to be very careful with stuff like that. You don't want to be the one that he experiments on, or some friend you know that's been practicing for less than a year.
Of course not.
You got to make sure you get someone who knows what they're doing. And there's a big difference, and you know, even in the world we live in today, when someone comes into court who, you know, knows the courthouse, knows the judges, has already dealt with the prosecutors, as opposed to someone who's, you know, hoping for the best and hoping that it's all going to, you know, work out or whatever.
Well, and that's my point. I mean, some of these judges or some of these lawyers, then that's where I know you, Adam, and you guys know what you're doing. You guys go into court, it's like, things get taken care of before everybody even comes out of chambers. So
yeah, I agree that
you have pull and you have got clout, you got street cred, whatever you want to call it. And I'm about to hire you. Don't get me wrong. You're probably going to be the guy next to me in November. What I want you to try and explain to me better, and I think your audience would appreciate is. What are you bringing to the table? Like, you know.
Right. I understand. Okay. The other thing we talked about is that you were involved in your business. I'm not going to say exactly what you do, but you're involved in investments. And you were saying how part of this is a little painful for you because you're used to sort of, you know, having like a you know, investment documents and mortgage papers and everything very kind of on spreadsheets and spelled out. And we were talking, you and I think we're debating really about how the way law works, it's a little more unpredictable and a little more esoteric, not just financially, but, you know, how many hearings it's going to be and how long it's going to take and what's going to happen. And, you know, a lot of it's unpredictable. So I remember you were saying to me, and I wish you would talk about it briefly, you know, how you were a little frustrated, I guess, by that process. Like the uncertainty.
Right. Well, and I guess, you know, I mean, it's like anything else in life. You just, until you have paid and done something and gone through it, you don't really understand. Like, I'll tell you what, I'm an advertising major. I've been, and that is one of the hardest things to put a financial figure on. You know, how much people are spending money on to get their business advertised. Well, when it comes down to it, if you don't do that, then you're SOL, right? And we all know that, you know.
Right.
But until, and I understand what you're trying to do for your audience, and I'm sorry that I can't really express it better than what you're trying to say, but yeah, it's a sticky wicket, really.
No, listen, Pat, I'm sorry it happened to you. Don't get me wrong. I just think that this is really useful, and I appreciate you being honest with everybody. You know, it's not just about your case right now. Going on the show is really helpful because a lot of people are, you know, in your life kind of situation, and it's good for them to hear you talking about this. That's the great thing that we do on the show, you know, on the Leica show, is we try to help each other. And, you know, I'm not, you know, obviously not beating up on you or anything, but it's really important that other guys understand how painful it is, emotionally speaking, to get arrested, to deal with that trauma. And like you say, having not gone through it before, living a pretty straight life, you're not used to it. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what you're supposed to do. And so you go through obviously different feelings and emotions where you're like, you know, you're saying
anger, frustration.
Of course.
Yeah, confusion. I mean, Adam, I mean, I think probably when I reached out to you immediately, it was like, how do I know that this guy is not some kind of gangster that, you know, when I show up at court on this specific date that, you know, is, you know, there's not some kind of, so that's what I don't even like.
Right.
Like I'm grateful that you were able to explain that the date on my citation is probably different than the date on his and
all right. Well, we're not sure about that. But it's definitely different circumstances, and I think it's good that you recognize that. And you know, you're going to come to this in your own way. Nobody's going to push you. It's hard for me because I'm on the phone and I'm like trying to, I don't know, explain it to you, and I'm trying to be patient, and I feel like, you know, I'm the one who can help you. I'm the doctor here, and I've got the medicine, you know, and I'm trying to give you one, and you don't, you know, you won't take it, you know, so that's hard based on my training and experience and so forth, you know, and I really know in my heart that I can win the case, which for you is, you know, that might be fun for me to win, but it's really about you. If I win, that's a great thing for you. And, you know, it's hard for me when I'm saying, look, dude, I can save you. Here's the rope. Catch the rope, and you won't take it, you know?
No. And, Doc, I understand that. Let's just pretend you're my psychologist right now for the sake of the show. What do I have to understand that this won't all come back on me?
The way it comes back on you is by losing. By not being prepared, by not gathering the evidence, and walking in stupid, getting a public defender or getting one of your friends who doesn't know how to do it, and losing and getting a conviction and losing your license and having problems later on getting jobs and paying a huge price for something that could have been avoided. And like Tom taught me, you know, you never lose money hiring a professional. I'm a lawyer, but I'll tell you this. I've hired lawyers to take care of my cases, things that I needed done. I've hired accountants that, because I don't know accounting. I've hired professionals of various kinds. I go to a doctor, of course. I don't try to do surgery on myself. And, the reality is that I have never, ever lost out. It's always important to look to people who know what they're doing to help you. You know, if you're not good at computers, then you get a guy to set up your computer and you pay him a few $100. God knows he probably saved you 2 months of torture. You know, that's worth a lot more than whatever you paid him. And I think you're going to come out much better off if you get a proper professional, me or someone else, and deals with your case. And I think that it's...
Hey, we need to take a break here, Adam. if we get... No,
I was
I'll
wrapping
tell you,
up, Tom, I swear.
Yeah, no, you don't have to wrap up because we have callers who want to talk to Pat.
Oh, okay, good.
So let's take a break here. We'll come back with Pat. We'll come back with Adam Sachs. Adam is here in his guise as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. And the phones are ringing here at 901-3000. Tom, it's 901-3000-866.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. A bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs at your calls at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. This Friday night at 9 p.m., a real Tom Likas Show boys' night out. It'll be the official grand opening of Dames and Games Topless Sports Bar and Grill in Van Nuys. And this is going to be one of the hottest lineups of the Likettes you've ever seen. After all, it is a topless sports bar or grill. It's like Hooters on steroids, Dames and Games. Here's the top of stage, go-go stage, private dance areas, a full menu, tons of flat screens with your favorite sports playing and more. Could be the wildest party of the year. How wild? Somebody told me that Adam Sachs might be there this Friday. In person. And you never know. For a party like that, probably a few people need to see Adam. It's just $10 at the door. $10. You can reserve a table, but you can just pop in for $10. That's it. Get there early. Limited space. We've never done a party like this one before. Get more details by going to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Dames and Games logo and get information about our event this Friday night at Van Nuys, 9 p.m. It's blowmeuptom.com. All right, we are here with Pat, the guy who walked into an establishment and somebody, he says, started a fight with him, unprovoked. And now we have Pat and we have Adam Sachs. And we have callers who want to talk to both of them. And you can talk to both of them right now at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That is the telephone number. It's 901-3000-866. Mike, say hello to Pat and Adam Sachs.
Hey, Pat. Hey, Adam. Hey, Tom. Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Pat, you know, Adam, you're not interviewing him for an entry-level position somewhere at a company. This is serious stuff. If, and like Adam said, if you get a conviction for assault or battery, assault and battery or whatever, on your record, no one's going to hire you. You're not going to be able to work inside of a building where they're going to have women, or say there's no women in there. The liability, knowing what your background is, the company will face it's not cost effective to hire you. Anything happens, and someone could use it against you. You know, maybe they just provoke you. Maybe someone just pisses you off one day. It's on the company. Yeah, they fire you from there. You go somewhere else, but the company would be facing a lawsuit that they probably couldn't afford to defend. I mean, and this isn't the time to be going, I need to get a coupon, or I need you to promise me it won't cost this much. Here's the thing. Adam doesn't know what it's going to cost because no case is the same. And I work in insurance claims. You never have a claim that's the same. And when you got a criminal case, this is the rest of your life. Pat, how old are you?
I'm 37.
Okay, man, you've got, what, another 30, 35, 40 years working easy, maybe more?
Don't get me wrong. I appreciate you bringing up the extremities of this, and that's why we actually agreed to have the conversation on the show is that, yeah, I totally agree that there, you know, I my future depends on this case, so... I don't know. I've
been in insurance claims quite a while. I've been on the end where we try to hire new people, where, you know, we start them in as entry level. And one of the issues that we faced is how many people have issues in their background and they've made nothing out of it. Like, oh, yeah, well, I had this one thing. I had a guy, we were getting him through the process. In Texas, you got to get fingerprinted and everything like this. This guy really downplayed the severity of his crime. I mean, he was up on federal charges for credit card abuse. He was convicted, and then that was the one thing he disclosed to us. And he disclosed it as a theft, which, in my mind, you're not going to get anything with a theft conviction. But when you're talking about assault, look, there's so much workplace violence nowadays. Companies are going to look at you, and they're just going to move on to the next guy because it's too much of a risk.
Don't get me wrong. I thank you for calling in and bringing that up. You know, I used to work in the automotive industry, and we used to get kids to work to become even technicians to work on people's cars at the dealership. And if they had basically more than a speeding ticket on their record,
they couldn't take the car from after the service was done into the parking lot. So that's
right, what I'm saying. You know, the liability policies, there's so many exclusions now, the commercial liability policies, that the businesses would see something like that. That's why they'll spend more money on a background check now. And there's so many third-party databases out there that you need this handled from day one as effectively as you can. And I tell you what, I'm not in California, but I wouldn't hesitate to call Adam and get somebody in Texas that he could give me a reference for if something like that happened, because I mean, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, but I would definitely, whatever years I got left to work, I want to be able to work them in this business I've chosen. And you can't afford to mess around. Whatever it costs you, it's not going to matter in the scheme of things. If you have to take your annual salary right now and cut it in half, a quarter, or a tenth compared to what you would be able to earn with a criminal conviction, or the fact that, you know, people just be hands off with you, whether you're an employee or a contractor, they won't want you in their building if they know there's an issue. And this isn't anything you can play around with. And I'm sorry to cut you off there, man.
I'm with you, Mike. I think you're absolutely right. And,
No, of course, yeah. I mean, this guy, you definitely are right. And I, you know, Adam, I'm pretty sure you're going to be in my corner before Raymond Day. It's just a matter of, you know, like you said,
don't wait, Pat. Okay,
thanks.
Don't wait around, and because that's another thing. Whether it's, I mean, claims is we're in a legal environment too, and the longer you wait to report a claim, the longer you wait to deal with a crime, whatever it is, whether it's civil or criminal, Adam's right. All of the evidence, it deteriorates. All of people's statements, their statements tend to degenerate. They change their mind. They think about it. No, this is what happened. That's why we try to get recorded statements as early as possible. And once they're on record, they're going to have a harder time changing their mind about things. And they're going to be more accurate early on about what happened. The more they get a chance to think about it, they start talking about it with somebody else, things happen. You don't want that to happen. You don't have a lot of time to play around with this, Pat. And I just say this as one guy to another, whether it's Adam or not, and I love this show and I love this segment, and I would trust these guys with something this serious because I listened to them for so long, and they don't play around. I mean, yeah, they have fun, but they're serious about their business, and I wouldn't wait around. You don't want to wait around until it's too late. You need to have him in your court, and he can direct what's going on. You know, he'll be able to tell you, okay, our next court date is, or hearing is this, but we're going to go ahead and move it. Or maybe he knows something that might be advantageous to you, and maybe it could get moved to another court or another judge, or he'll know what to do, okay? And you can't play around with that. This is your future, okay? Whatever it costs, I'm pretty sure this guy will work it out with you. And it'll be worth it. It'll be more valuable than gold in the long run.
Thanks,
all right, great call. Thank you
that.
So much for that, Mike. Really appreciate it. Let me get Pat. Pat, you got to talk to Ken. Ken and Pat, hello.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam. And hey, Pat.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
I wanted to say, it's funny because listening to Mike, I'm in the same kind of field, insurance, and I'm kind of glad I got a chance to cool off because, Pat, actually I'm kind of pissed off at you because I feel like you're taking Adam for granted, like he should give you free advice, and I don't think you work for free, but I have to say this much, that I've calmed down, and I feel like Adam, you know, has been here. He's helped out a lot of us for free. He's given you enough advice. He's trying to tell you that, like in other cases, if you don't have an attorney, you end up being jerked around. And using my own personal example, before I knew Adam, I had somebody who used my ID or used my identification and was convicted, and I had this felony warrant for my arrest. And I went into an attorney. It cost me $2,000, and it was a lot of money, but it was worth it because, one, when we went to court, because when I originally went there by myself, they were telling me, oh, you're going to have to come back in 2 weeks, and you're going to have to come back at a certain time. And I'm like thinking, well, wait a minute. I'm a person that actually does have an insurance license. I can't afford to be dealing with this.
Sure.
I went to this guy right away. I'm sorry? And I was the front of the line when I went into court. You know, everybody else was waiting. But when I went with this attorney, I went right to the front of the line. It was handled in less than 15 minutes. And even though it was a lot of money to pay, but it was worth not, you know, fucking around and waiting for, you know, this stupid court clerk to tell me when I'm supposed to go up and the judge, you know, giving me a hard time and potentially being put in jail. And I realize yours is not as severe, but in a way it is, because you don't know what this other guy's side is. You don't know what he's going to have. What witnesses he has.
And that's my worst nightmare, is fucking waiting in a line, let alone on a court clerk. But you're right. What does that grow into? What does the other guy say? Like, oh, did I, you know, who knows what he could come up with and what I could get what strung up on. So, no, I appreciate your advice. Thank you.
I think he's going to say that you started the fight. Big surprise there.
Right. You know, what option does he have?
I mean, that's why we need to get witnesses together before they go stale, like that other guy Mike was saying.
Well, and Adam,
it's a shit starter, if you can see that already.
When you brought up that there was something called a discovery, since I've talked to my other lawyer friends,
right,
that's what we'll find out from the discovery, right?
Well, it depends on what the police were emphasizing on. I don't know what their approach was. Maybe they believed Pat right from the beginning. Maybe they didn't.
Right. I understand that one way or the other. Sure.
Yeah, that's another thing, man. I got to say that. That's why I'm glad you brought up about your friends. Don't listen to your friends. They are your friends. But you know what? I hear that all day long. My friend told me this. My friend told me that.
But when
shit goes wrong, you know, what are your friends going to do? And I'm not saying they mean to do anything, but a lot of times people think they know stuff, but they don't.
Sure.
This is what Adam does every day.
Right. No, like I said, don't get me wrong. Adam's, there's a 80%+ chance that Adam's going to be the guy that's at least there by my side, but I appreciate all your input.
Hey, Tom?
Yes.
Can I be taking out Tomzilla?
Yes, you can. Here you go. I'm going to take one more call for Pat, and that's Patrick. Patrick, say hello to Pat.
Yeah, Pat, who do you think you are to waste our entire Tuesday evening arguing with someone who's offering to get you out of a possible convicted crime?
Who do I think
he's
I
got
am?
An 80% chance. Adam's got an 80% chance that you might hire him, that he might be the guy for you. Who do you think you are to interview a defense attorney? Who are you? Why don't you cancel your health insurance while you're at it? I'm sure when you get injured, you can fix yourself, because you know it all, don't you? Why don't you fire your CPA while you're at it? You don't need to do your taxes. You can do them yourself. You're a smart guy, aren't you, Pat? You know how to do everything.
Should
this is
I
a guy
a
who's offering to
also?
Keep you out of jail? Are you kidding me? You're going to go to jail, and quite honestly, I don't know that you're innocent. I think he may have had something to do with it. I think he might have been guilty.
Okay, Patrick, thanks for that. You got to understand, Patrick, and I appreciate you trying to defend me. Thank you. But, you know, this is something that a lot of people do. You know, and I'm not that angry at Pat for doing it, because I think it's painful to be arrested, and I think people get confused and they go into denial. And, you know, he's sort of bouncing around, and I know what you're saying. He's, you know, 80% likely that I'll hire him, and I guess so, and I don't know. But I don't hold it against him so much, because I think it's very hard for people to deal with. I think that's I try to have some patience and kindness towards people for that reason, because it is really, really upsetting to get arrested, and it's very hard to know, you know, what's the right thing to do in the aftermath. So,
By the way, you have some final words here from Pat, because we do have to take another break here.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom, and I appreciate all the free legal advice as Patrick had just attacked me there on. I'm getting as much advice as I can for free. And you know what? I think all of us Likas fans are all about getting all of our ducks in a row as much as we can before we make an informed decision. And
And when I say 80%, Adam, you're the man on my side as much as Tom is the man on my side.
80%, Adam.
Tom is my dad.
I guess that's okay.
You know, and this is all going to work out just fine. I'm not scared.
All right.
That's confidence.
Adam, anything you want to say to Pat before he goes? All right.
Listen, I just want to say, Tom, and again, this is no smack at Pat or anything. And Pat, I really appreciate you coming on. I hope that you didn't feel that, you know, anyone was attacking you or whatever. Obviously, strong emotions. Tom, this is a very, very common experience that I have. Guys make excuses and they're coming up with stories and they're coming up with, you know, any reason that they can and, you know, to like, I don't know, avoid or to, you know, basically not confront the problem. And like I said, I get calls from people after they're convicted. Talking about what do I do now? I'm screwed. Oh my God. And I really hope that people may go through a period of pain and confusion, but I hope that they do it expeditiously and get straight to protecting and defending themselves as soon as possible.
All right. Pat, good luck. We'll continue. We'll tell you how you can get in touch with Adam Sachs personally to talk with him off the show. If you've got questions, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, and I will continue. Don't go anywhere.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Adam Sachs, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me. 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me online on my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and you can send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
It's that simple. And by the way, if you're listening to a replay of the show, or you're listening to the show on demand, don't forget, you can call and speak with Adam live on the show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants. Get the app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
There's a fucking line.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount through a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's blippity blip. Beer Magazine, a Roman Catholic priest sentenced to 6 months in federal prison for groping a broad on a flight. She was asleep. He took that as a go-ahead.
Let's roll.
Green flag.
Yeah. He got to the white flag but didn't make the last lap. They popped our friend.
Marcelo del Jesus Maria.
Not mine.
Of Valermo.
Our friend was, of course, sentenced to 6 months home confinement. By the way, that flight that he was on was from Philly to L.A. Mm. Nice.
Yes. A woman fell asleep during the long flight, but woke up to find our friend had his hand on her left thigh. He then wrapped his arm around her and grabbed her titty. When he relaxed, she got up, told the flight attendant there were cops waiting when they landed. He said that he considered her silence, when she was actually asleep, he considered that silence a coy move on her part.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Not saying anything is a go-ahead. Okay there.
He told FBI agents that he liked cozy flights with women.
He did just that, except the police didn't agree with him. Neither did the district attorney. Mm. But he got house arrest. I mean, I wish he'd have got a chance to see some of the pals in jail. It would have been nice.
Just a little inner thigh and a titty grow.
By the way, it's not over yet, because a little telling thing here. The woman told the judge at his sentencing that she feels fear, frustration, and anxiety since the attack. And it's because she flies a lot, too, that this is a definitely damaging her. Look for a civil suit on the horizon for some cake. Mm-hmm.
In New Jersey, a 30-year-old Asbury Park man charged with multiple offenses after allegedly sexually gratifying himself in front of children in a public library. He was jacking off in front of the children.
It's definitely going to be a problem. Asbury Park would never be the same.
Your boy Michael Carlucci, one of yours,
no.
Entered the library without permission on August the 17th. He unzipped his pants and began stroking his shit in front of an 8 and 11-year-old. Yeah,
they better shut down the Stone Pony because of this.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
67-year-old man in Michigan has been arraigned on charges of accosting a child. He showed up at a fucking garage sale. A little kid was selling lemonade, and he offered her money for sex.
Oh, Jesus.
A little girl selling lemonade, 14-year-old girl.
I'm going to guess it said lemonade, 50 cents, and that was it right. On the menu.
Yeah.
I don't know where he saw this.
Not interested in a lemonade, but I'll give you a buck for a blowjob.
I'll double that.
Unbelievable.
Oh, come on.
And we talked about the coworkers of a Long Island teacher who apparently was sex-obsessed. Now students coming forward, they apparently were calling her toucher instead of teacher.
You know, I got to tell you what, for an older broad, she got hit in the head with the sex on the brain because all these people, her own, you know, fellow teachers, everybody coming out of the woodwork, now add the children.
Yes. Peter Wilkes said she was rubbing his back and calling him sweetie, and that he felt definitely weird.
You know how this is the East Coast, because the other two children that come out there is Mike Antonucci and Jesse DiMiglio. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Apparently, our girl was hopping on desks in the classroom and striking provocative poses in tight-fitting skirts.
What the hell is she doing? By the way, she's not good-looking because the student said that he felt weird because she was rubbing his back and calling him sweetie. The fact that the kid said that she felt, 18-year-old said he felt weird, if she was hot, there would be no weird feeling about it.
Right. Imagine this. She would put her hands on the desk in front of the dude and then stick her ass in his face. She'd lean over.
Antonucci said that our girl made inappropriate comments all the time. Yes.
One last perverted story out of Missouri. A woman.
At high school, by the way, Tom Likas' his worst nightmare. No. Two out of every three kisses is a whop. Oh, my God, he had a gun nuts.
The Missouri woman sexually abused a toddler.
While her
boyfriend videotaped it.
Oh, these two got to be put away for a long time if this is true.
She was touching the little toddler's pee-pee, and he was videotaping it.
God.
Not good at all.
Jesus Christ.
Take your mind off of that and get it on this pick alert of this woman from Costa Rica named Juliana Hers.
This is unbelievable. Wow. By the way, not only that, it fits the profile of the owner of this network to the letter.
There's a little piece right here.
Our girl is represented.
She gets topless in this photo shoot. Holy shit. I mean, they ain't big hands, but they're good ones.
Delicious.
And she is around. Funny more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary's Dino.
You better believe it, baby.
Check out the podcast, Shoddy. It's GaryandDino.com. Brand new show for you to download every single Friday. You just go to GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
I like them thick.